The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, Sirius XM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander flying, well, not exactly solo because we have guests in the studio, but Kelly will be back on Monday for those missing Kelly. He will be back in his chair on Monday. Thanks to Matt Brown for being on a couple times this week as well. Had a great time with Matt on Monday and Wednesday. We get tweets beating the book. I couldn't agree more, Mako. This is at Shades of Mako. Wow. The Tony Farmer segments on with Gil today were amazing content. Fascinating stories from the NFL that most aren't talking about. Not only fascinating stories, but like I love his Survivor spreadsheets as well that he brought in. Tim Bowers, following Tony's segment, it makes so much sense why the Eagles love them some Dom. Yes, I hate. Oh God, I was so over Kevin Burkhart hyping up Dom that one broadcast. Like enough with Dom. Who cares about Dom? But maybe he's one of the Eagles guys, if you know what I mean. And then no Emu Doug. Oh, this is a great transition into Fez. And no Emu Doug. Thanks for bringing in the people who actually like swimming in the mathematical minutiae, such as yourself. I don't understand anything that Fezzik explains, but I like his segments. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Fezzik Fridays. Let's go.
Whether it's at the sportsbook or anywhere else in the casino, he's always helping us find an edge. It's time for Fezzik Fridays.
Starring the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest, Steve Fezzik. You can follow him on Twitter at Fezzik Sports, at your own peril. Stevie, let's just get it out of the way. You're coloring your hair again.
Allegedly.
Why are we doing this? This is rule number one for men. Don't ever color your hair.
No, rule number zero is do whatever your wife tells you to do.
Oh.
And that trumps rule number one.
Is that what's happening?
You know what?
She's mistaken on this.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
Hey, little controversy. Not controversy, but concerning. I'm Elihu Feistel, smartest guy in the industry.
Yeah, what are you going after Elihu for?
It's almost like my cousin Vinny, where he's like a line. We're having a disagreement about a probability distribution function.
Yeah.
And I don't understand it. It's like he says, Steve, read my book and it'll be obvious. And
yes,
I should read
his book.
So I go back and I read his book and it's not obvious at all.
Elihu Feistel, by the way.
Right.
Feustel. I always say there shouldn't be a sports gambling. I said this about Barry Lamar Bonds, of course, in baseball, but I will say this about Elihu. Shouldn't be a sports betting or sports gambling Hall of Fame without him in it.
And
because he has helped so many people over the years.
And the crux of the issue, Michael Fiddle posted something, Fiddle's at Fiddle's Picks is fantastic. And he got 1 point he beat the closing number in the WNBA total by 1 point. And he was unhappy with me because he's like, Steve, you know I always beat the total by more than one, or most of the time, but I only beat it by one. So he has this tiny microscopic edge. And we're saying if a total lands is right on the number, 2.4% of the time, it's a break-even bet of 52.4%. So it's clear-cut. The math, it's like 15-minute grits. You cook it 15 minutes, the grits are ready, and it's 52.4%. And now Elihu's like, no, you're wrong. You have a positive expectation at times. Read my book, and I read his book, and I still don't understand what he's talking about. So I will get back to everyone on that.
Well, how could I put this? I think this goes back to David Gluck in chess.
Glick.
Glick. Is it pronounced Glick?
Yeah. So David Glick, I grew up in Ohio. He went to Walnut Hills High School. And my junior year, I played him in the state championship. And in the first round, he was the one seed.
Yeah.
I was the eight seed.
Yeah.
I had to play in the first round, and I almost won. I was, and in fact, to this day, he says to me, Steve, if you play Queen E6 here, I don't know what I'm going to do. I never even saw the move. But we drew. We tied.
Mm-hmm.
And then Glick, who was a master at the time, became a national master, went on to annihilate everyone else in the tournament. And I scuffled through without losing a game the whole tournament. So I finished second in the state my junior year. But I'm a tomato can. I'm like a class B. And he's already a master. And he went on, he finished tied for first in the national championship the following year. I mean, he's truly astounding and became like...
You're not making the connection here, though. Do you know why you could never be Glick and you could never be Feustel? You know what they have in common?
Yeah, they're both like 5 standard deviations better than I at their craft.
Well, not exactly the answer I was looking for, but we'll accept that
well,
answer.
Well, I just wish that Elihu could explain what the heck he's talking about because he's making zero sense to me.
All right, if you are in Las Vegas, Steve Fezzik implores you to go to the South Point to make a bet. What is that bet?
Oh, So set up the Dallas Cowboys minus 2.5 NFL week one at the New York Giants, Sunday Night Football. Go. We are betting Dallas minus 2.5. Do we like Dallas? Maybe. Maybe not, but I tell you what I do like, and I don't need Elihu to help me with this one. If I can lay minus 2.5, minus 110, and then down the road, I just need to get those G-men plus 3 at reduced vig. And I'm not confident that I might not get a plus 3.5 on that game.
Yeah,
America's team, the big, beautiful star, all that production.
It's totally clicking up to 3, right?
I think it's a classic example where it closes 3, and a couple places just get overloaded. Maybe it's the win. Maybe it's station. It's like, gosh, we got nothing but cowboy money. Let's go to 3.5. Or more likely, they go to minus 3, minus 120. So you play the Giants back, plus 3, plus 100. And it's one of those games where if it actually lands 3 and you don't make a ton, you just feel like a Dumbo because it's like, why didn't I bet that during the summer?
Race to the South Point.
Yep, go.
Metro might be on your heels.
$1.50 hot dogs.
Okay,
three.
This is one of my favorite Stevieisms in the NFL preseason. This is the time of year where content providers drive you crazy. And I kind of agree with you on this. What is it?
It's just they all want the sexy pick. They want to go ahead and play the rookie of the year. They want to play the MVP. They want to play coach of the year. They want to play all these skill position players to succeed, to go over. All right, so, boy,
That's how brains are wired, right?
Right, but all he has to do is stay healthy and, you know, and he'll be, you know, and I think he'll sail over, JSN, he'll sail over 1,300, you know, reception yards. What could possibly go wrong? Well, I'll tell you what's going wrong. It's like me saying to Stevie, all you have to do is, like, play really, really good moves on every move against Glick, and you might be able to beat him. Yeah, when you play a 40-move game, it's kind of hard to do that without throwing in a few clunkers, a few mistakes, and an outright blunder, and then you get murdered.
Oh, man, what's going on? All right, Mr. Smart Man, why don't you give us some specific examples of bets that you've made toward that end?
All right, let's go NFL. Let's go running backs,
okay.
Right? Let's bet against human achievement. Let's bet on injury. Let's bet on decline, especially as you get older. Let's go Derrick Henry, under 1,250. Let's go C-Mac, Christian McCaffrey. He was healthy last year. Let's prove it. Let's see you do it another year, under 900 rush yards. Arizona love crowded backfield. You know, they still have John Connor. Along with
by Arizona love, you mean Jeremiah Love?
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
The Arizona's running back. We're already banged up. We're going to go under 775. Let's go Scatabo under 800. They just picked up Najee Harris.
They did.
The Giants did. So mm-hmm. if Scatabo plays all 17 games, then we're in trouble. But he's been prone to some injuries. And you know what? He might just get a concussion headbutting some wrestler at some WWE event.
He is a bit of a wild card, yes.
Yes, and you love the way he plays, reckless abandon. And Cleveland Judkins, last running back, under 900 rush yards. I think Cleveland's going to be behind in many, many games. Samson's a really good third down back, so I just don't think enough usage. Judkins will probably go over 450 in first half yardage runs, but I think the second half of the games are going to get them.
By Cleveland Judkins, you mean Quinshon Judkins? Okay. Judkins.
I always go, yeah. No, Gilly, you know how this works.
Yeah.
I go team,
yeah.
Position, player, bet.
All right. Yeah. Some people might, when you said Arizona love, people might have missed Jeremiah Love.
So I get you.
All right. You have some unders on quarterback rushing yards as well.
Yes. Lamar Jackson, under 600 yards. I get it. If you look at his career, you'd be looking over, but you see this pattern again and again where not for long in the NFL, if you keep running, you're just not going to last. So I expect that his role is going to be diminished on the ground. Same with Hurts at Philadelphia. We're going to go under 425. And I don't think the tush push was as effective or it'll be utilized as much. I know that's hard to get to 425 one yard at a time, but I mean, they all count. And then Dart of the Giants already. What's this? First series of preseason, smashola, pounded into the ground. Surely Harbaugh and company will say, you know what? That's our franchise quarterback. We just can't be doing RPOs and having him carrying the ball as much.
Now, this differs because this is really like, again, you're betting against human achievement, but injuries will be on your side. In other words, no one wishes an injury, but if you have a bet on an under, yeah, you're not unhappy with it.
Yeah, not a long-term injury.
This is different, though. I want people to make the distinction. When we did our NFL futures draft at VSiN yesterday, where 11 of us, plus Keyshawn Johnson, Nick Bakay, we got together. I said at the start of the show by saying, to me, there are two strategies with the futures draft, right? This is a different sort of thing. In that draft, you actually are incentivized to take long shot bombs. Because again, like with humans with Schlittler in the MLB draft, 50-1, nothing else matters, right? So I believe in there's two strategies in the futures draft, which is go for bombs when you can, and don't diversify. Go one direction. Try to double up or triple, do correlation, because the object is to win.
Obviously, it's a fault in the whole program. You should only be able to select a team once, because like I would take Cowboys to win division, Cowboys to win the conference, and Cowboys to win the Super Bowl, and just hand me the trophy if they win.
Well, here's the thing, because it doesn't matter if you're second or 13th. The only thing that matters is if you're first or nothing else. Claude reviewed our draft, and they said I only had the 8th best draft. This is AI. Listen to what AI said. He doubled up on Caleb, passing leader and over yards, which is a correlated bet rather than diversification. Good if Williams pops, ugly if he doesn't. Which I just made the point at the beginning of the show. I'm like, that shows you that AI doesn't know what the hell it's talking about.
Yeah, or you didn't ask it proper, saying it's a winner-take-all type of contest.
Well, I didn't ask it.
Right. But AI is only as good as you got to make the programming really, really exceptional. Otherwise, you're going to get... And all AI does is give you the consensus. If AI was around in 1400, they would tell you the world is flat. It gives you the consensus feeling. It doesn't necessarily mean it's right.
Well, Jaylen Brown, Kyrie Irving, they still say it's flat. Coming back more with Fezzik next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Quiet on the set, Steve Fezzik. Most people think sports betting is about picking winners. Ungambled, built on a different idea. Matched betting and arbitrage is a tool that teaches you how to use sportsbook bonuses and promotional offers to capture value, whether or not your side covers. And Ungambled backs it up. You don't turn a profit on your bankroll in 8 weeks, they refund your membership. To learn more, start with the free guide at ungambled.com/vsin. That's ungambled.com/vsin and use promo code VSIN for 10% off. Bet sharp, look square. Gil Alexander, Steve Fezzik in studio for Fezzik Fridays. You can follow Steve again on Twitter at Fezzik Sports. He's very ornery on Twitter. Don't get in his way. Even Elihu Foistel is... fair game, apparently, on Twitter with Stevie. We have on the studio, because Kelly's not here. Kelly objects to when we're showing Little League Baseball. So they had Little League Baseball on here. You wanted me to ask you a question about that?
I really think the betting on Little League Baseball, it's really a travesty, you know? I mean, the limits have to be higher. It's just not worth it to go ahead and do the research. They got to raise these up. These are big games here. This is the national championship. This isn't just like a game in like Southern Ohio. This is the big league,
Stevie,
Little League.
Stevie, that might have been the funniest thing you've ever said on this show. That was very good. Well done. Little deflection there.
Well, you know what's hilarious? As far as funny, Nick Bakay.
Oh yeah, the best.
He's the best. It all looked so good. I remember one episode, and he was winning all his games.
You mean on ESPN? Back
yes.
In the day.
And then he has his five games, and then it's like, and then the Giants decide to take a knee instead of punching it in. And he goes on and on, and he's like owes his bookie all this money, so he disappears. And then the next week, they had his wife come on, all right, and pick games, and then they have his
lovely wife Robin, I believe.
I believe so. Yeah. And then she comes on like the next Monday. She's like, I got a message to my husband. Nick, you can come home, because while you were away hiding from your bookie, I ran the table and I got it all back.
Yeah. By the way, you know, I keep saying that his most prominent sports betting tie-in was, of course, his days on ESPN. But I should not neglect, he was also the showrunner, show creator of Bookie, which ran on HBO Max in 2023 and 2024, I believe it was. Don't hold me to those dates. But it was in recent years, starring the great Sebastian Maniscalco. Is that how you pronounce it? Maniscalco, I believe. Maniscalco, yes.
Sounds like a tennis player.
No, he does not play. He does not play tennis. What else? Stevie, here's the thing. Stevie has stuff he wants to talk about. And then in the breaks, he's like, oh, don't forget to ask me about this. Little League Baseball. Oh, don't forget to ask me about this. You wanted me to ask you about the latest Survivor documentary episode.
The best line. So Derek Stevens is talking to Mike Palm, and they say, this Thanksgiving, all the favorites lose, right? And he says, we have not seen such a travesty since WKRP, yeah. Late 1970s, the ill-fated turkey giveaway. And for those who didn't watch the episode, they threw turkeys from a helicopter, all right? That's and then people right. would be able to get their Thanksgiving turkeys when they flew down to the ground. And then Les Nessman is reporting, and it's like, the travesty of no, it all. No, you know, no, the no. turkeys are thumping into the ground.
Not the travesty. It's a play on the Hindenburg.
Right.
Like, oh, the humanity.
Humanity of it. Yeah, and right. then afterwards, like, I think it was Herb or whoever designed, he says, for the life of me, I thought turkeys could fly.
Who said that? Derek said that in the documentary?
Yes.
Good
they
for
said
him.
The,
Good reference.
Derek or Mike, like, they're commenting on it. And the WKRP in Cincinnati. Vince, Venus Flytrap teaches the atom. Go query that. That's like the greatest. You don't know anything about the atom. Venus Flytrap will teach you about it by talking about gangs in the inner city, and he explains the atom that way.
Venus Flytrap, played by the great Tim Reed.
Yes.
Slow jamming late night on WKRP, I believe it was. All right, back to the NFL. Let's talk about NFL season wins. You used to love season wins. Not so much anymore.
Yeah, you know, used to be that the marketplace was just so off, and you'd see teams move like a full game. You know, it wouldn't be unusual. I remember the year after the Broncos won back-to-back championships. So LA retired, and I think it was a 16-game schedule, and we got the Broncos under 9.5. I don't know if it was Bubby Brister or someone, like, to, you know, to go ahead and play under. You would see, like, so many great things. But now you got this Cleve T.A. guy. You got Football Outsiders. Like, literally, you got the Elihu Foistles. You have the greatest brain trust all crunching their numbers in June. And there's just so little left on the bone that at this point, it's almost like I'm getting people recommending, oh, Atlanta to make the playoffs. No, Atlanta alt-line to go under 6.5. And it's like, I don't think both of these can win. and the bottom line is I do still think there absolutely is still a bias. The average season win number is 8.57 if you know calculate the VIG. And it should be 8.4 because teams can tie. Mm-hmm. So that sounds trivial, a 0.17 difference. But basically, that's more than enough at minus 110 pricing. If you played every single team under, you would approximately break even. You'd win just barely. And if you play all the overs, in the long run, you would get crushed. So
I used
look
to say,
under.
This is not exactly what you're talking about. Yours is more, pardon me, yours is more math-oriented. But when I used to do my baseball manifestos for VSiN and beforehand, what I used to say was, if you counted up the pre-flop season wins, right, baseball, it's what, 15 times 30, what is it? It's, what is it again?
I'll just say averages.
No, it's 162 games, pardon me, 162 games. So it's like 2,440 in Major League Baseball games. And if you added up the number of season wins, pre-flop for all the teams, it was always higher than 2,440. Some by a few games, some actually by like 40 or 50 games. Now, I used to point this out. Roxy used to tell me, Roxy Roxborough, the legendary, he said, you're probably emphasizing that a little too much. But and he's right. I don't mean to make it the end-all, be-all. But my line was always, if your instinct is to bet a spate of overs, you're probably doing this wrong.
Yeah, because the average for the teams would be like 81.6.
Right.
And half a game is worth 10 cents. So literally, it's almost like saying, if I'm betting under, I'm getting plus 102. If I'm betting over, I'm essentially laying minus 122. And you're going to say, no, Steve, I'm laying minus 110. Well, yeah, but you're laying an extra half game than you should be also. And, you know, every year, there's at least one team that lands right on the number.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. And there's plenty of teams that are close, you know, this year, whether they're going to, like, you're still sweating out. Probably a Guardians bet under 80.
Guardians and Rangers. Yeah, Rangers over, Guardians under. So that's pro football. That doesn't apply to everything, though, right?
It pretty much applies. I think it's
not college football, right?
Yeah, correct. The college football, the numbers are, it might apply overall. I've never really done, but there's plenty of overs that are good also.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, and the great Dr. Bob, I think he's like 50-50 when he comes on, you know, and he'll go ahead and give out a whole bunch of winners. And, of course, Jacksonville State under will lose every year. But the other ones will be strong. Boy, you know, if there are two teams that the good doctor would eliminate, it's West Virginia and Jacksonville State. Those two teams were the only two teams that he would – he lost every single season win on those plays, and he hit 75% seemingly on everything else. Yes.
You have a play. Let's get a play here. Missouri State, under 4.5.
Yes. Can't name a player, but I don't think I'm alone because I lost everybody. So Missouri State won 7 games last year. But if you look into the – and they were a decent team, but they went 5-2 in close games. They really didn't deserve to, you know, go ahead and win 7. They probably should have won 5.5 games last year. And now the entire team is gutted. Everybody hates them. Brand new coach, almost no returning production. And by all accounts, this is going to be extremely down year for Missouri State. And some of those close wins they had were against teams like Marshall. They won as a 7-point dog. They won by 1 point against Marshall. Marshall's going to kick their you-know-what this year in a revenge spot. People are high on Marshall.
That'll be all the corroboration you need early in the season.
There's a swing game in our favor where Missouri State loses at home to Marshall, go ahead and circle this, Todd, as a winner. It's an automatic winner at that point, even though it's only September. Under 4.5, you got lay minus 170. You don't pay the VIG when you win. I hate that line, but that's really true.
Ace used to say that. Vegas runner, you sit on Megapod all the
so
time.
Funny.
Back to the NFL for a second. Let's do a Steve Fezzik past post from last night. Now, a theoretical past post on the Raiders-Texans game last night.
Yeah. So if you lost last night, just quit. Don't bet any more NFL.
That's
games.
It. Retire.
If you lost on betting the side on that game, and well, here's why. So our friend the Hitman gives out the Texans first half.
Yeah.
Okay. So sharp money on the Texans first half. They become a 0.5-point favorite. What's this? But equally sharp money on the Raiders to win the game. The Raiders go up from pick'em to a 2-point favorite. It closes like minus 1.75 on the Raiders. DraftKings even goes to 2.5. All right. The Texans win the first half, all right?
Big,
because they get a pick six. And then the Raiders crush it in the second half. So the Raiders wind up, the game lands 2. So if you bet Houston right before the game started and you had enough outs, you won because you bet plus 2.5 at DraftKings. But if you bet on Houston, you won plus 2.5. On the Raiders, you could have won, laying minus 125 or minus 1.5.
Yeah.
What I thought was the best bet, and this cannot be a pass post because I gave it out to my service, and I even, not only did I give it out to my service,
my bad.
I sent a special text to our secret text group, the
I,
one with...
I missed
with,
that one.
No, it went to Bear and Todd. And,
no, I'm saying I just personally missed it.
Yeah.
I'm not denying that you did.
Right. So I played the Raiders second half. My thought being is that everything is played out according to Hoyle. Houston has won the first half, and they've won convincingly because of the pick six. But all this money on the Raiders pre-flop, there was probably a reason for it, and the Raiders absolutely dominated the second half. Should not have won the game, obviously, but easy cover second half.
The pass post for this audience is what I'm saying.
Yes. Yeah. Fair enough.
Steve Fezzik, one more segment. We'll recap the bets as well on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Rainbow Authentics and VSiN are taking the bets to the beach. Tim Murray and Matt Humans are heading to Hawaii for a special edition of VSiN Primetime, live from the islands Wednesday, August 26th. Plus, a beach edition of the College Football Betting Podcast, breaking down all the Week Zero action. Don't miss VSiN in Paradise, live from Hawaii, Wednesday, August 26th, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, only on VSiN. Tim Murray was on the show earlier. He said they're also headed, he and Matt, to the Bay to the actual game in Palo Alto the following week. So good on them.
And you're probably going to go to the Hawaii Bowl then at the end of the year?
No.
Is that the game plan?
I was joking with Tim. I was like, you should go to Hawaii. We should just use any excuse for you guys to go to Hawaii. Like Auburn, Alabama, the Iron Bowl. Tim and Matt are going to Hawaii.
Hawaiian collectibles. How much? But you know what? Put $1,000 deposit and that's fine. You're good as an advertiser and we're going to Hawaii. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So Tony Farmer was just on with us. Tony does the Last Men Standing podcast. In addition to his life as an investigative reporter, he also does, he's all in on Survivor. Okay, so you have won, let's run through the list. We always introduce you as back-to-back Hilton Super Contest winner, but how many contests have you won over time?
Six.
Six?
Yeah.
Actual retail value of those winnings?
$1.65 million.
And then...
well, those six plus others.
Of those six, and then you've won other stuff.
Yeah. But most recently... Last year, I was 21st in Circa Millions, 9th in Circa Millions 2 years ago, and I won the Westgate second half contest last year.
And I've been to your neighborhood. It's the house that gambling built, the house the contest built.
It's I love the green. Like, it's impossible to find a neighborhood with green. Like in Henderson now, the Four Seasons is building this enormous, like, it's not a hotel, condos. Have you seen it? It's like,
no.
It's like 20 stories high in the Black Mountain Hills up there.
Oh,
and minimum price $5 million. You don't even get a Four Seasons. It's just a condo building. Unbelievable.
Plus, it's too far out there for me.
It's too far.
Really. Yeah.
No, great view, so
what views. I was getting at is that you obviously are as successful as anybody, probably more so than anybody over time with contests, and you have the Skrilla to prove it is what I'm trying to get at. I don't know if people say that word anymore. Anyway.
Skrilla. Was that the monster in Odyssey?
It might
have. No, that's Scylla.
Yeah.
Silly.
How many Circa Millions and Circa Survivor, and I'll even ask, are you doing Grandissimo? Are you doing it? What's the breakdown for you?
So there'll be 10 Circa Millions. I'll max that out. I'll play the
10 Circa Millions.
Yes.
Okay.
Circa Survivor, I know everyone gets upset with me on this. It all depends on the results early in the week, because if both favorites win, then it becomes less attractive to me, because a lot of people know if they lose, if they play the Rams, for instance, all right, in Australia, if the Rams win, they go through. If the Rams lose, then they can re-enter. And so people want to go through, especially people with big bankrolls. So what will happen is that if Seattle beats New England and the Rams beat the Niners, then a whole bunch of people are going to be 1-0. And there goes my overlay down. What is that in rounders? Down the drain. Yeah. All my hopes gone. And people like, Steve, if you're that worried about that, you know, you probably shouldn't even be entering, but it's probably a 4% hit to my EV, you know, so think about that. I like playing without a rake, and really I'm getting the rake because some people won't turn in their picks.
Yeah, and the opposite. Yeah.
Exactly. If the Rams lose to the Niners, who will be spending a week in Australia apparently, and if New England upsets Seattle, now all of a sudden, boy, all these Survivor contests get a lot more attractive, because not only do you have, like, you could say dead money from players, it truly is dead money. They are out already, and I don't care if they re-enter. There's an extra couple million thrown right into the pot, at least.
And I just think that's great insight as to how your brain works. Most people, and you've talked about this strategy year after year after year, and you do take some incoming on it, which I always find amusing. It's like, nah, man, he's looking, this, hey, you may not have Steve Fezzik brain. I certainly don't have Steve Fezzik brain, but you look for any incremental edge you can come up with.
Well, the second Seattle beats New England, my Survivor entry, if I already signed up, takes a 1.5% hit in expectation. Right. People would be like, well, they burned Seattle, a really good team. You know what? If Seattle was a 99-point favorite, would you take them week one? Of course you would. If you knew they were going to win, you know, you survive in advance is the ultimate goal. And if you know a team's going to win, then there's value in that, even if you're burning the best team.
So you wait till the absolute last moment then, or at least not the absolute last moment, but after the weekday games are played to assess the field and whether you jump in or not. But Millions, have you already gotten your 10 entries for Millions?
No, I'll put in the 10, yeah.
Okay, and then Circa Grandissimo. Do you have any interest?
Zero. It's just because, I mean, like, You poker players, they say you shouldn't enter a tournament that's like more than 2% of your active betting bankroll. Like, so that means you got to have a $5 million, you know, just sitting on your table at home. Okay, let me grab a stack of 100,000, you know, just sitting around. That's why poker players go broke. Really great poker players is they enter all these $100,000 buy-in tournaments.
Yeah.
And guess what?
Yeah.
Then they go 0-15. It happens. I got a great poker player friend. He's gone to the World Series, played 12 events. He's bageled. He's missed on all 12. You're only going to cash 10% of the time on average. It's even worse in a Survivor, winner take all. You could play the rest of your life and very likely never win Survivor.
Of course. Joe Pita and I can never remember if I say this on air or off.
Love here. Joe Pita.
But Joe Pita said, we had a conversation. If you were buying the $100,000 buy-in all by yourself, so you're flipping the bill for $100,000, responsibly to do that, your net worth should be $50 million. Like, it's different if you're getting 10% of it or whatever.
I think if 1% is fine. So if you've got 10 million, I would say 10
million.
But
you know what? Different.
We can go 10 million, 8 million, 50 million. Those are all good answers. You know, it's a bad answer. I took out a HELOC and I entered.
Right.
And I think there are some people that are doing that. Right?
That would be a bad answer. Are there any other contests in town that you are participating in?
You know, like you, I played in the station Last Man Standing. And like you, yes. I have forgotten to put my picks in the first
week. Dude, I stopped 3 years ago because I forgot. And you know what? Like, it never occurred to me. Never. I signed up in early August. By the time football's in, it's a $100 entry, right? Five for the price of four. I just completely forgot. And
it's a great contest.
It's a great contest, but that told me, it's like, you shouldn't be in this.
Well, once you get through the first week, then you're locked. And I'm a huge believer in shoving with your best play and putting them on every entry, because the idea of like going 2 and 3 or 1 and 4, and I got one silly entry left that was worth $25 to start. Now it's worth, one weekend it's worth $50, and I got to drive over,
you have to drive on Saturday, get
a kiosk, put it in. Come back. What's this? Oh, on Todd Wishnev's Discord, there's like, this is the greatest baseball bet ever. Yay, we won. We won. And I don't see it because I had to get my, you know what, stupid Last Man Standing. So it cost me like $1,000 to play in that contest.
That is the other part of it. You have to drive to Palace Station, right? Do it every time. I forgot about that.
I go to Green Valley.
Or any station.
Yeah. But yeah, you can't put it in on the app. That makes
right. you have to drive it.
Another thing. Doing all these contests is a J-O-B.
Yeah.
So I've got an obligation to my clients. I'm like trying to give them the very best plays, giving them half times, working nonstop. And the whole idea that Friday from 2 to 4, the world stops spinning while I have to like optimize my millions and my Survivor, the cutoffs at the same time, and do all this, boy, and Survivor's way more luck than millions. I mean, every expert will tell you that.
Yes,
I mean, then there's tons of skill involved with Survivor also.
But you're 100% right about
that. But the bottom line is if you're a sharp third grader, well, don't take the Chargers week one. You know what? Maybe it's not the optimal pick. Maybe it's only the third best pick. And it might cost you $20 in equity not to have the optimal path. But it's close enough. Whereas if you take that sharp third grader and you give him a millions, good luck with who he's going to try to pick in that contest.
Let me ask you this. So we all, again, we have our studios here at Circa, but I'm being sincere when I say these are the greatest contests, right? Circa Survivor, the greatest. Circa Millions, where, you know, it was the first of its kind with no rake. You know, let us not forget how there was
love
rake.
The no rake. And as Derek has explained, there's always an overlay, because even if we hit the $6 million guarantee, inevitably there's going to be the disgruntled person that starts, you know, 3 and 12 and says, the heck with this, and they won't even try to win the quarterlies. They might not even put their picks in.
Well, let me ask the question, though, before we go to break here, which is, what's your favorite non-Circa contest in town?
If I had no bankroll at all, it would be the Last Man Standings. I think those are the best ones to play station. Yeah. The season wins, though, at Westgate. I've had the most success playing in those season wins. I think I cashed.
Do they do that for every sport?
Baseball and football. But I think three of 6 years, I cashed half the time in the NFL season win contest.
And, you know? And describe the nature of it. You're just picking all 32?
You have to pick all 32. And there's a tiebreaker. There's always a team and like basic strategy, giving away the store a little bit. But like the tiebreaker would be the Rams, 11.5. And if you play over, everyone takes 12. You never take a half. You always go to 13. If you play under, you go down to 10. So like the Dodgers, I played under 102.5. And my tiebreaker, I think I put 99, because you don't want to. Human nature says, oh, I think they're just going to barely stay under. But the truth is, given they go under, they probably were going to go under by several games.
When you say tiebreaker,
there's one tiebreaker, like if to determine the champion.
Is that pre-selected
one team?
Is
they
the tiebreaker?
One team, and this year in the Westgate baseball was the Dodgers.
Gotcha.
At 102.5, you had to write how many games.
That was the part I wasn't getting. Speaking of baseball, Steve's got baseball plays next on A Numbers Game.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Steve Fezzik, an extended version of Fezzik Fridays. Should we recap the bets, by the way, Danny Higgins? Danny Higgins, by the way, producer number 10, everybody. Let's recap the bets. By the way, I have two tennis plays today after a clean sheet 2 days ago where we hit two dogs, including plus 183 on Thiago Agustin Tirante. We went to the well one too many times yesterday on Tirante. He was a plus 282-ish dog, I believe it was, against Artur Fies. Yeah, he hit the wall somewhere in that first set, and all of a sudden his serve. By the way, Tirante, note him, file him away in our collective tennis brains, because that dude has the most powerful serve on tour. Stevie, he's serving 148 miles per hour.
What does Ben Shelton hit it at?
Not quite that high. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. Artur Fies, by the way, yesterday was just a banger of a match. Today I got two. They're both on the ladies' side. I'm on Sarah Bejek, that's Bejek, I don't know how you pronounce it exactly, plus 191 versus Madison Keys, the American. This match will start at the top of the hour. This match is going to start in about 15 minutes. Plus 191 on Bejek versus Keys. Her hardcore numbers are sensational. She knocked out Aryna Sabalenka the other night as well. I am on the big dog there. And then Marta Kostyuk, plus 123 versus Coco. That is tonight.
You've made a lot of money betting against Coco Gauff over the years.
Yes, I have. Not that Coco's not great. She is, but oftentimes she is mispriced.
You must have certain situations that she does not excel in.
Well, I mean, there's that. Yes. Here are the, by the way, we got two tennis futures now at the U.S. Open. Iga Swiatek already in the accounts at 7-1. She's about plus 550 right now. I'd still play her at that number. And this morning, Carlos Alcaraz to win the U.S. Open at plus 175. Jannik Sinner announcing this morning during the first hour of this show that he is done as far as the U.S. Open is concerned this year. The knee injury is too much. So Carlos Alcaraz is your short shot. Got him at plus 175. I haven't seen where he is right now here in the closing moments of the show, but I will update this here momentarily. Tiger's most wins month of August. I don't think we're going back-to-back, y'all. It's 60-1, but the Tigers would have to basically win every game the rest of the way to get back in this. They're four wins behind the Phillies. Even that might not be good enough, but certainly can start with the sweep of the Royals this weekend if you're the Tigers, and then we'll revisit it there. Paul Carr, Premier League picks, three-pack tomorrow. Man U, minus 1.5 goals, plus 110 at Hull City. Brentford, plus 145 versus Tottenham. And then on Sunday, Brighton, plus 120 versus Aston Villa. Thanks to Paul, not only for today's appearance, but also all of the season longs that he had on the show yesterday. We had some plays also. JVT was on, Jonathan Von Tobel. He'll be joining Stormy Bonatoni for money moves coming up after prop points here that follows this show. He's on the Packers plus the points at the Broncos.
Winner.
Here, week two. There you go. Stevie's already called it a winner. We don't have to play the game now. Packers plus 6.5 at the Broncos week two preseason. And then week zero, college football. North Carolina plus 7.5 versus TCU. You want to call this one?
Loser.
Oh, okay. Memphis plus 6.5 at UNLV.
Unclear.
And Jacksonville State plus 7 at North Dakota State.
Winner outright.
Winner outright. Wow. Okay. Steve Fezzik grading the bets before they even happen. They don't even need to happen. Tim Murray, Hawaii Stanford under 49.5.
Winner.
Penn State season long under 9.5 wins.
Winner.
Wow. Okay. There you go. Tim, that's all. That's all we got. Tim Murray via Claude's opinion. He had the best NFL futures draft yesterday. All right. Let's talk some. Oh, by the way, a couple tweets. K-Flow.
Well, we didn't put my summary, but people heard him earlier in the hour.
Oh, you want to talk about yours? Yeah, let's talk about yours.
Just real quickly, running backs under, Derrick Henry under, Christian McCaffrey under. These are all rush yards. Arizona's running back Love under, Scadabo, the Giants under, and Judkins, Cleveland under, and quarterback rush yards. Going to go Dart under, Hurts under, and Lamar Jackson under.
You also had Missouri State under 4.5 wins this year.
Yes, minus 170. Yeah. Don't, as Vegas Runner says, you don't pay the big when you win, baby.
Okay, let's go to Major League Baseball. You have a couple more plays for us in Major League Baseball. I didn't really realize how much you love these, but you are always playing adjusted season win totals throughout the 162-game baseball schedule.
Oh, it's such a great market, and shows sometimes people are just too close to the sun. So I'm listening locally at 12:30 a.m. I listen to VEASAN here in Vegas, but that's also the station to hear the soon-to-be Las Vegas A's. And so you hear the announcer, and they are so down on this team. This team is terrible. It's like the Isotopes. Remember the Simpsons when the Isotopes were terrible? And they're like, yeah, as soon as as soon as this overrated catcher pops out to the second baseman, we'll go to the postgame show. I mean, they say the one thing about all this losing, it's going to build character for next year because clearly we're going to lose 100 games. Well, when the hometown announcer is saying that, you probably should bet that they're going to lose 100 games because Oakland's over under right now is 61.5, Sacramento, Ace, whatever you want to call them. We're going to go under 61.5. It would take 13-21 to beat us. And I don't think the A's have won a series.
They're really bad.
Like in months, yeah. Maybe one series. The Cincinnati Reds were going to go under 74.5. Now 14-20 beats us. And we normally would lose if they were just playing against Cleveland every week. But look at that schedule. They have to play the Dodgers not once, but twice. They have to play Milwaukee not once, but twice. They have to play the Cubs twice. They don't get any easy games. Like they're at Arizona is like their easy series. They're going to get their butts kicked. So the Reds under 74.5, a team that the schedule is just going to destroy them.
Now, you would think at this point, Steve would say something like Pete Rose is not walking through that door, or Johnny Bench is not walking through that door, or Joe Morgan is not running through that door. But who do you choose?
Tony Perez is not coming back. Anyone who watched the 1975 World Series knows Perez homers twice, game five. And then game seven, the Reds are almost donezo, down 3-0. And Billy throws a spaceman blooper to Tony Perez. And that ball's still going over the left field wall. And as soon as Tony hit that home run, like Rose and all the rest of the Reds said, as soon as they cut the lead to 2-3, they all universally said the same thing. We're going to win now. If Perez doesn't homer, they're dead. And then as soon as they traded Perez away, that was the end of the Big Red Machine, even with Tom Seaver.
Wow. Good Big Red Machine retrospective right there from Stevie. You grew up in Cincinnati? Or no, Dayton.
Dayton, Ohio.
That's
Glick
right.
Was in Cincinnati.
Well, again, have you put together the Glick foistle? Do you understand what the common thread is yet? Did you get it yet?
I'm working on it.
Okay. A couple of reactions to stuff earlier. K-Flow says about the Westgate contest this year, the season win total football one. He says the Seahawks win total is the tiebreaker for the over-under wins this year in the Westgate contest.
So the Seahawks will be 10.5. So you, yeah. If you play over, play 12. And if you play under, play 9. You know, play a number that's significantly, or 8. You know, play gotcha. It significantly past. Don't just, don't make your tiebreaker if you go under 10.5, 10.
Make the tiebreaker count.
Yes.
Stanford wrong. Get it? Not Stanford Wong. Stanford wrong. He says the WKRP episode. Oh, I didn't know this. You might have. The WKRP episode that you talked about earlier that Derek mentioned on the Circus Survivor doc, that episode also foreshadowed a real Cleveland disaster that happened just before it went off the air. So apparently the WKRP joke was they were throwing turkeys from the plane, the helicopter, whatever, yeah. Oh, the humanity. So apparently there was a balloon fest disaster in Cleveland. Do you know about this?
Oh, I believe they released all these balloons and like it caused environmental damage to this.
The event was intended to be a harmless publicity stunt. However, the released balloons drifted back over the city and Lake Erie and landed in the surrounding area, causing problems for traffic in a nearby airport. In consequence, the organizers faced lawsuits seeking millions of dollars in damages.
You know, the thing about the city of Cleveland, the only city in the history of the world to catch on fire, and Randy Newman, roll on mighty Cuyahoga. You know, that's how Major League, the movie starts.
Oh.
And he's making fun of Cleveland, you know, city of light, city of magic, and roll on mighty Cuyahoga.
The Randy Newman, the I Love LA guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, short people. Got no
short,
reason.
That's his best jam, right? Short people?
No reason to live. Terrible.
Yeah. Something like that can't get made today, or at least won't get played. Let's put it that way.
And he said, you know, he's like, it was one of my first hits, but the problem is people would buy it so they could break the record. They were so angry with me, not realizing it was just a parody and I was just making fun.
Well, because he's short.
Yeah.
That was, yeah, it was about, yeah. Yeah. Okay, last thing, last 60 seconds. Give us a Steve Fezzik season-long NFL thought or bet that you feel is a completely counter to conventional wisdom heading into this season.
Wow, it's not counter. I was going to give you the Steelers under because they've got a massively overrated quarterback that's like no one likes and who's completely over the hill. And Mike McCarthy, remember when he said he was going to be like embracing these analytics and like really, you know, studying it when he took some time off? I think he just went to Texas Roadhouse and just kept doing what he was doing. But, you know, I don't have a team that stands out to me.
Well, the Steelers under thing, and I brought this up earlier in the week, which is also if Aaron Rodgers stinks at football, he's 42, he's going to be 43 in December. Will Mike McCarthy have the onions to walk up to him and say, you're not starting next week? I don't know that he will.
Yeah.
So there's that kind of human compound.
Well, I think they're certainly going to go with they're pot committed and they have to go with them. But congratulations to Aaron Rodgers, who had like a 10 golf handicap. And so he won the Pro-Am Pebble Beach. I saw a little plaque with his name on it. Congratulations, Aaron.
Hey, thank you, Steve. We've done all we can do. Kelly's back Monday. Enjoy Prop Points at VSiN.